What if there was a system for healing your current illness, even a chronic condition that has plagued you for years? Today's speaker is going to tell us about just such a system, Ayurveda. And the best part is that you can do a lot of this for yourself. Stay tuned. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, it's a series, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the very special 30-Day Love Challenge, which will be coming up very soon. And I have an event that many people don't really want to focus on, but it's all about recovery from addictions and other problems, the Healing Recovery Retreat. It's really worth getting information on online. So now this show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. And we really need to hear from people that can teach us how to do this. And today, I have the delightful pleasure of speaking with Arkarya Shunya. She is one of the extraordinary teachers of the living embodied wisdom of Ayurveda. I had studied Ayurveda many, many years ago, so I personally know the power of this method. She transmits it through the roots of her family lineage, as well as throughout Ayurveda lifestyle wisdom trainings. She's a model of how to access the healing power of nature within. In her book, she combines stories of the lessons she learned from her family with her years and years of experience training students and coaching clients. What she offers is a prescription to optimize your health in a clear and straightforward way, giving each of us the power to change our lives so we don't have to rely on outside sources to do it for us. So today, I am so delighted to welcome you, Arkarya Shunya. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be talking to you, Dr. Erica.
And so please tell us a little more detail about your background and education and your family and how you came to embrace the power of Ayurveda and to teach it to others.
Yeah, thank you. I think it was karma that decided that I would be doing what I do, really, Dr. Erica, because I was born in a family of wise teachers who have always walked with this wisdom from ancient India called Ayurveda, and also its sister sciences of yoga and Vedanta, which really offer deep, deep, deep tools for transformation of the body, mind, and spirit. And, you know, when I was growing up in this family, we just take our family for granted, don't we not? But it was only many years later that when I was here in the United States, not for any specific purpose, but because I was accompanying my husband, I realized that, oh my God, I have these treasures and, you know, that I can share. And there is such an eclectical and beautiful, you know, paradigm shift that's going on where people want this knowledge and they want to not depend on drugs anymore. They don't want to live in fear of disease anymore. And I have these treasures. This treasure of Ayurveda lifestyle, where just the way we live in a given day can help us not only prevent disease, but even overcome chronic imbalances. And that's what I've been doing now for the last 2.5 decades here in California. And, you know, now I'm the president of a California-wide Association of Ayurvedic Medicine. I have a school of Ayurveda and its sister sciences here in California, Northern California. And day in and day out, this is what I do, you know, really reliving some of the stories of personal miracles and community transformation that I noticed in India happening all over again. The time and era has changed. The characters have changed, Dr. Erica, but what has not changed is the abiding wisdom of Ayurveda. So I guess that's a great start to a really a sweet story. Just my whole life feels blessed.
I know it is. But I wasn't going to start with this question, but maybe you can give us an example of one of these miracle stories.
Yeah, you know, Ayurveda itself, Erica, means wisdom, wisdom of life. It's not just the knowledge of disease. And so when we restore wisdom, I mean, we restore the wisdom way of living, then health is renewed. And I start my book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, on page one with the story of a 22-year-old Californian, Brittany Barrett. And she met me at some event where I was lecturing or speaking about Ayurveda. And she kept crying. And I wondered why. And later she talked to me and said, your message that we're not broken, we're just out of balance, and we can bring back ourselves into balance by aligning with nature means a lot to me, because I'm only 22, but I'm on 18 prescription drugs. A year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. I have a bad case of it. I moved in with my parents. I need to live near a restroom. I have bloody bowels every time I go. I'm losing weight. I have no vitality. I'm on antidepressants, and it just was a really sorry story for a young 22-year-old, beautiful child, but, you know, child woman, but really, really in a sad situation. And later she followed me to a retreat just a few days later, and I met her again, and she told me her story again, and I knew she was really suffering. So Dr. Erica, literally on a napkin, you know, five suggestions were given to her. Simple five things to do from the whole ocean of beautiful teachings of Ayurveda, which included one was to meditate daily for 15 minutes on the healthy self within, because Ayurveda proclaims that health is our birthright. And if you're not experiencing it, it's latent, and we can do things to make it, you know, patent, to make it, to experience it. Number two, to gift herself flowers every day, something fresh and beautiful. Number three was to drink a smoothie of yogurt made with one part yogurt, four parts water, blended together with some spices, which is in my book. It's an Ayurvedic buttermilk. And number four was to avoid cheese and processed foods. And I don't really remember something, which was the fifth thing, but something really simple. And this list of five things to do and not do, she followed them religiously because she had no place to go. And for 8 weeks, she followed it. And her bowel movement dropped from 12 or 15 to 6, 7 a day. And over a few more months, she got off of many medications. And within a year, she was also off of antidepressants. And now she's leading a full life. If we were to Google her or find her on a search engine, we could look up Brittany Barrett Ayurveda story. And she is now herself become a leader and a teacher of wellness and health, in the United States. So it's really wonderful. So this story and many more stories of people recovering from an immunological condition where she was told she can only manage it, but never really overcome it. I have story after story that just strengthens my heart too, Dr. Erica.
Wow. Well, there's so much that so many of us don't understand. And we're also confronted every day. Like, I like to go out for lunch, and you get confronted with all these foods that are not healthy for you. And they're tempting, and they're what we're familiar with. So I have a question about that. How can what we eat and drink, specifically at different times of the day, profoundly affect our level of wellness?
Absolutely. The food we eat becomes our gross body, as in our physical body, and then after many more days, it keeps transforming according to Ayurveda, and it also becomes our subtle body, which is our mind, our emotions, our thoughts. And even modern research is now demonstrating that the food we eat influences our mind states, and, you know, and literally there are documentaries on it and research after research proving it. But thousands of years ago, you know, Ayurveda and the sages and the seers who gave us Ayurveda were really natural scientists, and they observed nature. They observed biochronological rhythms that are born from a 24-hour day and then from a 12-month rotation of Earth around the sun, and the change in the light and dark and, you know, the spectrum of seasonal foods. All of this combined to create a very abiding science of nutrition, dietetics, and Ayurveda, which has not had to issue any embarrassing recalls like soy is good, oops, soy is bad, you know, fat is good, oops, fat is bad, now we're back to fat is good. There has been no reason to make any changes to Ayurveda's teachings on food and nutrition, precisely because it's a mature, well-seasoned, 5,000-year-old medicine. And so when people like Brittany Barrett and, or, you know, I talk about Bill Duncan, who was 76 when he came to my school, and after within a few months, his blood pressure dropped, he lost weight, he overcame rashes, you know, his blood test came back after 5 years, the best ever. Why? Simply through the food. So I guess what I'm trying to say, Dr. Erica, is I'm not saying that everything out there is bad and everything in Ayurveda is right, but we need to pause and think about some of the diets that are out there, some of the recommendations that are out there, and some of the skewed research wanting to promote a product that's out there versus wisdom, versus tried and tested knowledge. And this knowledge was not just for people in India who worship a certain way, who look a certain way, who eat only vegetarian. It was for people all over the world, which, and in universal terms, such as if you live in a cold climate, then these are the better foods. Even animals choose these foods, and these are your better foods. If you live in a, you know, warm, moist place, then, you know, such as Hawaii or Florida, then these would be the foods for you. So it's so universal. And, you know, not only in India when I was growing up did I see the miracles and the transformation, some of which I have noted in precious childhood stories in the book, but then for the last almost three decades, you know, person after person from different, you know, different countries of origin, different family backgrounds, gone back on these universal dietetic principles. So I guess that's what has, you know, growing up in a world, as you mentioned in my background, that I grew up in two worlds, the modern and the traditional. I'm a skeptical at heart, but I have been convinced again and again, and that's why I've become a shameless ambassador of Ayurveda now.
Yeah, you mentioned something that I really have forgotten about that I heard so many years ago, that, you know, the environment that we live in can make a difference in which foods we should be eating. They always say to eat the foods natural to that area. And
oh,
we all
absolutely
move around so much. Because we move
absolutely
to a new climate,
yes,
and don't adjust,
yes,
what we're eating or how we're eating. That's huge, that alone.
Yeah.
So,
and we're all eating according, you know, by the cookie cutter, you know, food rules now, where we all want to eat certain foods. So that is why in my book I have, you know, tried to fine-tune it for people who are living here, where I'm living, in America. And, you know, I have used the principles of Ayurveda from the traditional texts and teachings, but I have fine-tuned it to people right here because this is where my clients and my students are. So I wanted to make it completely relevant for our life here. And I've even described the seasons and the seasonal diet based on when the rains come in the East Coast and the West Coast. So it's just amazing. And those diets, you know, you can get to those diets really only if you knew Sanskrit, this 10,000-year-old language, and you were a scribe and you went to those books and, you know, discovered them. But I put them there in easy English. For us to just, you know, say it's spring, we can just turn to the page in spring and we can start incorporating those foods in our palate. And whether we eat Japanese cuisine on a daily basis or Indonesian or Indian, it doesn't matter. We can just include those foods in our palate and we'll start seeing relief in all our symptoms and well-being. So it's like Mother Nature come home, you know, and she starts blessing us right away.
That's very interesting, because on Facebook posts, and a friend of mine, several people have mentioned that it's raining more and their allergies are acting up and their fibromyalgia or whatever they have. One person has asthma, that it's acting up more, and they don't associate it with any of the foods that they may be eating at the time.
Unfortunately, that is precisely the case. And by the way, let me tell all those people who might be listening in that rainy season, or whenever it rains, is considered a time when all the doshas or bioenergies of the body get acted up, and that's why you'll have the rainy, you know, the rainy season knee acting up, or aches and pains would act up, or the digestion will not be so supportive. So I have a diet for when it rains, so we can cook a soup or a, you know, a dish based on those foods. So the macrocosm and the microcosm are inherently connected, Dr. Erica, and all animals know that, all plants know that, but only we human beings had the luxury of forgetting that and creating our own virtual worlds and losing ourselves in it, and then outsourcing our knowledge and our inner knowingness to, you know, books and magazines, which may or may not be containing the whole truth, maybe a partial truth, but it's their version of the truth. And Ayurveda is by no means an Indian diet superimposed upon the world. It's really a scientific diet based on the interrelationship between living beings and the living macrocosm. So that is why the skeptic, the person between two worlds who had been also studying biology and physics and just about, you know, and neurobiology, says wow to Ayurveda and, you know, dedicated my life to promoting it then.
So I have so many questions that, you know, as you're talking, first of all, do you use cooked food? Because there are people that say you should only eat raw food as a way to heal yourself. And then I hear that raw food sometimes is not so good for your digestion.
And once again, Ayurveda gives a mature response and says it differs case by case. And it really hesitates in making a blanket proclamation and putting all of humanity, how many people are there? How many billion are we to be really eating the raw? So it says that it really depends on the efficiency of your metabolism, and then it gives us symptoms to assess if our metabolic efficiency, are we dull, so we take a tomato and digest it forever? Are we super efficient, which means it just is gone and we are hungry again? And, you know, or is it erratic, like Brittany Barrett had? Sometimes she would digest the tomato, sometimes she wouldn't, sometimes she'd throw up, sometimes she'd have diarrhea, sometimes she'd have constipation. Or is it balance? You eat it, you digest it, you feel energetic. So it gives a list of symptoms. We diagnose our symptoms based on what kind of metabolism they have. So we customize it. This is personalized medicine 5,000 years ago. And then it says, you know what? If you have a dull digestion, you might as well, or erratic digestion, you might as well borrow the thermal efficiency of a stove, cook the food. It's like for a baby, you know, we would grind the food and we would saute it and we'd grind it and we'd make it soft for the baby to digest it. In the same way, if you have a compromised digestion or an erratic digestion, why not borrow some heat from the stove, cook the food, barbecue it, or whatever is the, you know, ideal way of breaking down the food, and then eat it and chew it slowly and eat slowly, and that way the food turns into tissue and energy and not into waste products or toxins, you know. So it's just common sense. On the other hand, if you have a super efficient digestion, in fact it gets hungry quickly, or maybe you're an athlete or you run a lot, or you're born with that, you know, then maybe you can enjoy some raw food too. So isn't that really beautiful, that instead of declaring a rule, it wanted us to go back and check in with how we're knowing, and then trust us for knowing what we need to know?
But this is so important, because so many people follow a certain diet that doesn't agree with their body, and then they feel like they're failing because they're not doing it right, and it really is just not the right combination. So tell us about the three subtle matter states.
The three gunas. The three gunas, yeah. The three gunas are, they have fun Sanskrit names, and they are known as sattva, rajas, and tamas. But ultimately, whatever we eat gets more and more micro-digested. So even what we ate 30 days ago, 60 days ago, 90 days ago, hangs out in our body, not just in our adipose tissue as fat or bone. We all know that, you know, our body recreates itself through the food it eats on a daily basis. But interestingly, Ayurveda mentions that it becomes even subtler and subtler, and then starts becoming our thoughts. It starts becoming our emotions. It starts becoming our mind. So it deliberated that mind also is matter. Ultimately, it is subtle, and therefore it is influenced by matter. And I think it's really liberating, because I have now experimented with myself where I ate, you know, sharp and tantalizing and stimulating food like chips and, you know, or any sharp, spicy foods, and I would crave them even more. I'd get addicted to them. I couldn't stop, like we have with salty chips or, you know, salsa and chips or alcohol or caffeine, and we want it more and more and more. Because we want it more and more, then we talk more and more, then we think more and more, then we're anxious more and more, and we keep eating more and more. Because according to Ayurveda, a subtle quality or a guna, G-U-N-A, it's just a Sanskrit word for quality, called rajas, R-A-J-A-S, has increased in the mind. And what it does is it makes us addictive towards food, but it also makes us, all our sense organs start hanging out, you know, almost indiscriminately wanting more, more sex, more stuff, more things. And it, you know, it can lead to a pretty anxious state of mind. On the other hand, when we eat really old food, stale food, food that's been lying around in the refrigerator forever, but it's been labeled as fresh chicken, it's really, you know, it's really not fresh, and we need to accept that. So when we're, you know, when we're opening cans where stuff's been lying around in the dark forever, even though it's called fresh soup and you heat it, it still carries those qualities. And what it does internally to us is we become duller, we become more depressed, we become sadder, and little did we know that it was the food that we were eating. But if we eat seasonal food, we cook it as fresh as possible, maybe the same day or maybe overnight maximum, but it's our own food. And, you know, in my case, I'm a busy professional. I'm a teacher, I'm a founder, I'm a leader, but I literally still cook yes. 2 to 3 meals between me and my husband. We manage, and that is why our cells are happy, my mind is smiling. And, you know, you can experience my vitality through the phone, hopefully. So this comes through the final quality called sattva. And in my school at Vedika Global in California, we say that we are sattva farmers. So we like to we like to introduce sattva in our entire, we keep our home beautiful, we eat fresh food, we gift ourselves flowers like Brittany Barrett did, we wear beautiful clothes. And, you know, we greet the morning sun, and we keep increasing this guna or quality of sattva, which fills us with inner light and health. So I feel like it's so empowering that I can choose one quality over the other two. I don't want to be too agitated. I don't want to be too depressed. I want to be balanced, creative, and joyful. And Ayurveda says you can do that through your food.
And it doesn't matter what your constitution is. You just adjusted.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I've had people, Dr. Erica, who've had 200 pounds to lose. They have hypothyroid. They have blood sugar. They've been, you know, diagnosed with depression. They may have had a loss or death or divorce in the family. It's an entire setup for a collapsed being. And when I meet them, all I do is I turn to a certain page in the book which talks about, you know, qualities of sattvic food. I have a list there. And I just say, okay, for next 1 week, only eat these foods. And they're like, I don't talk to them about their constitution. I don't talk to them about macrocosm, microcosm. I just try to look really serious and tell them these foods are good for you. So they believe me. And then they eat those foods. And a week later, they're already more cheerful. This is the beauty. I think from a Western paradigm, I could say that those are they contain the happy chemicals, let's just say. And the ancient seers knew that these foods and these activities are going to influence the mind. So the lifestyle, the food we eat, the things we do, like why did I tell Brittany Barrett, who was bleeding, at every bowel movement, why would I tell her to gift herself fresh flowers? Why is it such an urgent care recommendation from me? I mean, I could have told her to just lie in bed and feel sick. But when she was collecting those fresh flowers and smelling them along the way, she was blasting her brain with this quality called sattva. And, and it works. And by the way, I've been teaching this, and my graduates are now qualified to teach the science of these gunas and Ayurveda lifestyle to prison staffs across California. We're also teaching this, in Stanford University's health improvement program. These are simple things from ancient tradition, but they are working and they are delivering results. So it has reverberated beyond my teaching in my school to now my students taking it to even those places where you would have thought, which would be traditionally not open, but then again, remember, we live in California. Anything goes in California.
Right. And I live in Florida. It's not quite as open as California. Very interesting. So I have another question. I'm just curious about it. There are all these people touting these wonderful powder drinks. You know, take two scoops of this and it has all the greens that you need or all the reds and antioxidants you need. Just what would you say about that?
I would be a bit, well, I can tell you that I don't need anything apart from my food. I don't need supplements. I think human beings have evolved from being Neanderthals to Homo sapiens sapiens this far without having to buy commercial powders and smoothies and import an expensive protein. I'll just say that evolution is way smarter, and we have been using food grown by Mother Nature in a wholesome manner. When we were very active hunting for our food, we could even eat it raw. Now that we are sedentary, we need to cook it a little bit, simple as that. But nature fulfills our needs, and in every season, she makes sure we have what we need. So we just have to get out of the supermarket mode, or I read this in this magazine article, so I'll read it. And that's why we need, books like mine, which are really connecting us back to observation of seers as to the natural state of nature without boxing us into a certain kind. And then I can say from my experience, from the experience of thousands of people I have worked with by now, not just directly, but through the agency of several charitable clinics that, I and my organization have founded, not only here, but in India too. So across countries, all across states, we have people. I have students and clients all over the world today. And gradually, actually, following Ayurveda makes it very inexpensive to be healthy, and we don't have to put away, tons of money every month buying supplements and making some companies really rich and, worthy of trading on the stock market. I'm sorry, my health grows in the soil outside my home. I grow my herbs and foods also, so whatever I can, and then I buy organic, and I know, and I follow my own diets. I'm good to go.
Wow, that is really good to hear. Just a reminder. So we just have to get off that treadmill of running out and being so busy, and we have to do a little bit of that cooking ourselves. That I know.
I think so. Or even if we cook once in 2-3 days, or even if we drink a cup of fresh goat milk or, cow milk, or if we even make an egg in clarified butter, I feel like moving towards using our hands, using our skills, because digestion begins not just when we eat the food, but when we start looking at it, when we start cooking it, when we start smelling the aromas, our entire being starts getting ready to receive the food. And we are giving the signal to the universe that we are ready to consume, and all that food becomes a blessing for us, Dr. Erica. I personally feel, and I might be sounding a bit, strong in my views, but I have to say that my views have become stronger over my years of noticing that people believed in a narrative which is highly powerless, that they had to have these supplements that are so expensive, or they had to have prescription pills forever. And I'm not against Western medicine even one bit, and I would use it quickly if I needed to. It's just that I need it less, and that's the way I plan to keep it, you know. And I just feel that we need a new narrative, and the new narrative is that, we all age, some disease is normal, but a lot of drama can be cut down if we just follow nature's rhythms and her teachings and just curate those times in our life which are for ourselves, whether it is to go to the farmer's market for grocery shopping or whether it is to cook simple recipes. I have 27 recipes in my book that have changed lives, and they take less than 10 minutes to make. So, you know, simple thing like how long does a smoothie take? She would take 1 tablespoon yogurt, 4 tablespoons water, and whip it with a spoon and add some cumin powder and 1 or 2 more spices from her kitchen closet, and she was ready to go. Brittany, I'm talking about Brittany,
right.
And that healed her ulcers. So, you know, simple things can empower us, and I believe that the baby boomers deserve and are ready to hear knowledge that may be from another language, but they shouldn't let that come in the way, because the baby boomers have always been known to, I mean, in a way, the baby boomer generation has been the generation that has forged ahead and made America what it is today, really.
I want to react to something that you said about you're not against the medical profession. I have to say that there were two times. Once I broke my finger and, you know, I needed a medical doctor to set it straight and help. And another time my back was out so badly that I was lying on the floor, couldn't get up, and I had a heater nearby and got that on my back, and I got to the emergency room, and I was never so happy to take medicine to relax the pain, to alleviate the pain and relax the muscles. But after that, I did my yoga and a type of, it's something like Tai Chi, Chundo Sunbap, and Pilates, and my back has been fine for years afterwards. So the emergency moment for medicine sometimes is valuable, but the lifestyle is what you're talking about.
I think it's time to have mature conversations for all of us in the health and wellness industry, and to kind of not create more prisms in which we trap people. I mean, people need well-being. When I see a suffering being, and if they have acute symptoms, I would rather they get some help from their MD, because I want them to be smiling again. I want them relief from their pain, like you mentioned. But then this condition shouldn't repeat itself, or can what is now bad made better? What is better can be made good. What is good can be made optimum. For that, we want to go for wisdom, and we want to look at our own life and our choices. And from a very happy space, from a positive space, sow some seeds that will ripen into beautiful fruit. That's what I would say. So I guess Ayurveda has made me that. It has made me not be a kind of person who just wants to get stuck in a box and keep talking about it. And I think it's very tedious, that kind of thinking.
Absolutely. So I have another question or two. One of them has to do with cold water. I know that every time I go to a restaurant, they want to serve me water with ice. And I ask for it without ice. But what's wrong with drinking cold water?
So ice is not natural to human beings. Ice is something that we don't ordinarily consume. And what ice does is it shocks. It shocks the metabolism, because the whole metabolic process is around thermal efficiency. And the thermal efficiency, if I explain it in Western ordinary science terms, I would say that we optimize our thermal efficiency through various acidic enzymes in the body. So the body goes to a lot of effort to increase the heat index in our digestive organs, so that we can, you know, break down the food. That is the job of fire. Fire metamorphoses, transforms, transmutates, breaks down, metabolizes food. And what would ice do? Ice would just freeze and paralyze the whole process. That is why not only in Ayurveda, but across Asia, people drink warm tea or hot water with food and never cold. And you might have noticed that.
Right.
And this is one of the first changes I bring about, because apart from a very handful of athletes or people who have extreme, superb, you know, metabolic efficiency, most people today with our cars and our, you know, and our luxuries and our sedentary life, we need help. We don't need to compromise our digestion. So imagine an average American walks into a pizza place, orders a huge pizza, thick and dripping with cheese and fat, and then gets a tall glass of soda with ice. And imagine what that ice does in fat. I mean, if there was any chance of digesting and metabolizing that pizza, even that vanishes. So I've had people lose hundreds of pounds, and initially for a few months just drink warm water, and they see they're dropping weight. And that makes a big difference because their metabolism came up. So they don't need more medicine. They digest their own fat.
Wow. It's such a simple thing. And wow.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Rekha mentioned, and I start my book about forgetting. Like, it's almost like we forget because we are so sincere and we're in a way simple. We believe people, and you know, and there are all these theories out there, and that's why I took a year and a half out to say, my God, this science is universal. It's common sense. Let me write a book on this. That way, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What I'm seeing is that many of us distrust the medical profession because they're providing medicine and pills all the time. So we turn our total attention to these so-called holistic practitioners, and they are just making fortunes out of selling all kinds of products that we probably don't need. So
I would be even careful about, after reading my book or my show, I would be careful in even accessing an Ayurveda practitioner who just piles us with a whole prescription of Ayurvedic herbs also, because the kind of health that I am trying to promote is where we take responsibility and make the changes in our life, like really replace our cold ice water to room temperature and in summer and to warm water in winter. So we've made a change. We've made a life quality change versus going to an Ayurveda practitioner and walking away with an herbal prescription and how exotic and how wonderful it is from India. So, you know, world over, this tendency to replace a Western drug with an natural drug is another problem in my mind, because we're also depleting Mother Earth, and just it's become another commerce. And that's why I've been running clinics here in California, which are drug free. And this was my experiment, Dr. Erica, that, okay, I would have a person with asthma walk in or eczema walk in or thyroid walk in, and I'd say, fine, just start leading these lifestyle practices. Just replace your cold water with hot water. Instead of exercising with a full belly, exercise when you're a little bit hungry. So we made all these changes, which are mentioned in the book. And, you know, watch your blood cholesterol. Watch your asthma medication go down. And it did. The body repaired itself. And this is where my conviction was born all over again, beyond my training, where, you know, you're a wide-eyed student learning and believing in things. When I saw these changes happen again and again, I was like, oh, my God, this is something the world needs to know. I looked around. I didn't find any book that was going beyond just the to-do list to explain the science. And so I curated the book that I'm happy to say is the best.
Oh, fabulous. I am so delighted to be speaking to you. And we're kind of running out of time, so I just have two questions to ask you. One, just say very briefly why using oils can be very helpful for the body, and then tell us how people can contact you and get your book.
Oh, Ayurveda has discovered these beautiful substances from nature, such as sesame oil, castor oil, coconut oil, almond oil, everything natural that you could find at your local grocery store, hopefully the organic kind. And when you apply those oils on your body, according to Ayurveda, your entire nervous system calms down, and a bioenergy of wind and air called Vata Dosha, which is circulating through all your skin surfaces, also calms down. So I have a story in Chapter 5 on Leanne Brady, who was suffering from multiple sclerosis. And when she came to me, she had a pretty bad case of it going on, and pain and inflammation throughout her body and muscles. But I gave her this one practice of applying Ayurvedic oil, sesame oil, every morning, and that alone changed her health so much that her neurologist asked her, "What are you doing? And can you talk to my clients about Ayurveda?" So I've shared her story. In fact, she shared it in first person. So I just want to say that you can always go to a spa or a massage therapist, but if you can just warm some oil, you know, oil warmer in your own bathroom and take a few minutes to apply these natural oils and then take a shower. Don't apply the oil after the shower, but before, and then take a warm shower. You'll be glad you listened to our show. That's all I can say. And then all the do's and don'ts are in the book. My website, Dr. Erica, thank you for asking, is my name, Acharya, ACHARYA SHUNYA.com. You can find me on Facebook also by my name, Acharya Shunya. And, you know, I'm sure they'll find the spelling of my name in your show notes, Dr. Erica. And just and the book is available everywhere.
Well, I am so thrilled that I have the opportunity to speak with you, because I've been having this concern. I've bought a lot of these powder products, and I'm realizing that they're advertising and selling and selling, and maybe it's not really what I need. And I know a lot of people feel that way, and very expensive. So it's wonderful to get back to owning your own health and taking the simple steps
that
you're teaching.
Indeed. Thank you.
So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom on my show.
My pleasure.